Welcome back to In the Moment. I'm Lori Walsh. The Board of Regents has directed all public universities in the state to transfer to online learning in an effort to flatten the curve of the coronavirus pandemic in South Dakota. Jim Moran is Provost Vice President for Academic Affairs at Dakota State University, and he's joining us now for a look at how that transition is being handled at Dakota State. Jim Moran, thanks for being here. We appreciate your time.
Well, thank you, and good morning. So I'm certainly pleased to talk about what we're doing. And it certainly has been a challenge, but we continually look for kind of innovative ways to, you know, operate the university. As a university, we're still open and still maintain the quality of instruction that we really strive to do. I think at Dakota State, we're fortunate that our faculty are so committed to students and to their learning. Our both students and faculty are fairly tech-savvy, partly because of our laptop program, because of the nature of what we do. And I think at one level, that makes it easier for us. At the same level, there are challenges that each of us face because online learning is a different modality, and the way students learn and the way we present material is very different. So It's one of those things that I think is actually helping bring us together in some ways by recognizing that it's important for us to focus on making sure that these students are still on track to graduate and still get the content and information to position themselves for what we always define as career and life success.
Yeah. How long has this transition sort of been underway? Because, everybody's at sort of a different stage with where they were at in spring break, for example, and how quickly they were able to transition, especially with the laptop program where every student already has something set up. So tell me how long this has been going on for you, and what sort of stage of online learning transitioning are you in right now?
Well, right now we're fully online for all of our courses, and had to do a number of different ways. Some of that is on our traditional online program. Many of those are self-paced by students. For others, our courses were meeting those at the same time that they were scheduled. Had a conversation with one of our programs this morning, but that is done through remotely. Through mechanisms by which students get on their computer, faculty is on their computer, and they can see each other and interact in that kind of real time. As this issue of the COVID-19 came up and first made that decision to extend spring break for the week and then go online for 2 weeks, at that time we began preparation. We began preparation both for how we might need to move courses online for the rest of the semester. And again, I think, really compliment our faculty that saw some of that coming and went to work kind of right away. At the same time, we looked at how, as a university, we're operating in terms of making sure that, we have pre-registration coming up for summer and fall and advising students and how we're going to look at providing some of the support for students in terms of tutoring as well. Now, obviously now the whole process of students leaving campus and these sorts of things creates for an individual a little more disruption. We've got students who are working, and some of that's disrupted in terms of those. But I think we saw very quickly that we might need to be prepared for this, primary focus being health and safety of our faculty, staff, as well as our students. And so we began fairly early, and I think that put us in a position to, as the decision was made this week, to going fully online, that we're seeing that most of our courses are in good shape. There are some difficulties.
Right.
Some of the ones we had with we have some, what I'd say, high-powered computer labs that have unique software on them. Students don't have access to that anymore. So our IT program had to go to work and work with some of the software vendors to enable us to have extended licenses for those students to be able to put those on their laptops, on their home computer for the rest of the semester, so they could do that high-end work from home instead of in our computer labs. Some of the courses that are a little more hands-on, the science labs, the art courses, those become a little more difficult. But again, I think faculty have been innovative and tried to see how they could cope with that.
Tell me a little bit about, you know, we mentioned the laptop program addressing issues of equity, but clearly there are students who don't have a good home to go to, or they're an international student, or they're far away, and maybe they can't get to their home. They have immunocompromised people at home.
We have some students that will still be on campus, and those will be some of our international students that in some cases can't go home because of the flights. Some students have nowhere else to go. And so we will have a group of students who are on campus. We are also worried about some students that live in some of the remote areas where their internet is not good. Again, the local library is closed and other resources that they might have been able to use are closed. Those are students that we do have concerns about, and we'll have to work with those students on an individual basis to see what we can do, whether we are, you know, mailing assignments back and forth or those sorts of things that we might be able to do. We've also had students whose internships have been disrupted, not just here, but also in the for summer. And those are things that we're trying to work through on an individual basis. We've got another group of students who we're worried about, and those are students for whom we've made accommodations because they have a disability in some form or another that they need. The way we've operated on campus has been to accommodate some of what they need. How we flip those onto online are things that we're working through, contacting all of those students on an individual basis to make sure that we keep them on track for graduation as well. So there are all those different kind of things that come up that we deal with and we're aware of. We don't have the solutions to all of them right now, but I think, again, our faculty are going to be very accommodating to individual student needs and recognize that our main focus is to make sure these students stay on track to complete their programs and obtain that special educational experience for that is part of Dakota State.
Is there a plan to go to pass-fail at all, or are we still doing grades and testing?
Those are things that are being talked about at the system level, and no decisions have been made on that as yet.
How are you handling admissions right now? Because this is a time when a lot of students are making plans for the fall, a lot of high school seniors.
You know, exactly. Those are you know, not only that, it's trying to keep that interaction with our existing students and looking at admissions. So we've got a mechanism to try to do some interactive things online for students, trying to get some videos put together so students can experience the campus, even though they may not be on the campus. That is a challenge. That's a challenge, of course, that every university is dealing with. But trying to, we've put together, we'll be putting together a task force to look at, you know, how we can cope with all of these situations that are different. It's a different experience, and how we interact with those potential students and existing students to keep them on board is part of what our challenge is. We're meeting consistently at the university. We do have a few people who are still, you know, we have a few staff that are working on campus, and other staff that are working remotely. And we're fortunately, most of our staff are able to continue a lot of their activities remotely. And admissions is one of those that will be interacting with students in a different fashion.
Right.
Well, so those are things that we deal with.
If students had already applied, will they get those admissions letters? Are these letters still going out in the spring?
Yes, we'll still be getting all of those admissions letters out, all of those interactions with students. You know, there are some issues that we're going to have, you know, in terms of ACT exams and these sorts of things. But there are ways that we're going to cope with that. And so these are things that are issues for the institution, as we're all facing across, you know, across the state. But, yes, students will get their admissions letters. Students will be will be processing transcripts for students that are transfer students. And all of those types of things to make sure that as a university, we're operating as a university and all those types of things that we need to do to enable students to, you know, still achieve their dreams in terms of what they want. And we'll be probably interacting with students much more on an individual basis to make sure that they understand that we're still there for them. And I think that's important. One of the things our faculty are going to miss most is that life of a campus and right. that interaction, that one-on-one interaction that makes a faculty role so lively and keeps us in the role of saying what we do is that interaction with students is something that gives us life as well as the helping those students. And we're trying to transition that same kind of thing yeah. to being online and to working with those students in a different way, but still thinking about those students as being part of at Dakota State and that experience that we can give you as a student and that college experience. So that's important for us.
There's a real sense of grief. I mean, as you do all this scrambling and as you try to respond and be ahead of and, you know, trying kids who can't get back to get their stuff, how does it yeah. get packed? How do you do that safely? All this decision-making process, go, hurry, rush, hustle, solve, communicate. There's also this heaviness of grief for professors and students, especially those who are getting ready to graduate, who now, have that rite of passage interrupted. Can yeah. you speak a little bit to how, as a university, you just sort of see those moments of people acknowledging that as they move forward and sort of standing in that space together?
Yes, I think that is really one of the things that we've talked about pretty much on a constant basis. Conversation this morning, and we recognize that especially for even some of our students that were already online, and we have a fair amount of students that were already fully online, but their lives have been disrupted. They may now have their children at home that they're now coping with. They may have lost a job or a reduction of incomes. And all of this life experience that some of those students, we are reaching out to those students and saying, yes, we understand, and what can we do to be there for you? And again, I think even our faculty members are having some of those other experiences that change their lives very much, besides just what they're doing on teaching. But they're again, may have their situation in terms of their home situation change very much. And there is that sense of, I don't know if so much as grief, but disruption and how am I coping with that disruption. And so we're trying to reach out to students on an individual basis in our communications to say, we recognize that your life has been disrupted and we're doing the best we can. We're all in this together. And the primary focus is, again, on making sure that we are consistent with the guidelines for preserving health and safety. Because if we don't get through that, none of us gets out on the other end. But we're really focused on especially those graduating seniors to make sure whether that be, undergraduates or graduate students, we've got that issue as well, to making sure that we stay on track to make sure that they can move to that next stage. That celebration of commencement is going to be postponed, and how we do that is still up in the air a little bit, but we want to make sure that in some ways that student can still celebrate and move on to that next stage of their life.
Tell me a little bit about how that process of moving out is going to be handled. You know, for one thing, it's just hard to keep people, some of them are in, they share rooms for one thing. They want to say, those seniors are going to want to say goodbye to each other and hug or have parties or whatnot. Are you handling the communication?
We can't have parties. We are very serious about focusing in on the issues around health and safety and limiting any kind of the issues around community contagion. Yeah. And so we're what we have done for our students is we have given students who are within driving distance, typically the schedule. If you live at on this floor of this residence hall, here's your time to come gather your things. No. We also know that there are students that won't be able to do that, and so we're dealing with those students on an individual basis of, if you can't come on your, when you're scheduled, if you're scheduled to come and you can't come, we're making an adjustment for that.
Right.
But one of the things we're paying attention to is, one, We do not want all the students to come at one time because that is, from a health and safety perspective, something we're trying to avoid. So those are kind of processes that we have. At the same time, we're going to have some students who are on campus here. We're going to be relocating them to a single residence hall so we can, again, provide those services to them. We're going to still have dining facilities available for them because they know they use our residence hall as their primary residence.
And Jim Moran, I'm going to go ahead and let you go. We have Dr. Dan Heineman on the line. We're going to do a healthcare update here in just a moment. But I wanted to say thank you so much for your time and for all your faculty and staff and students. We wish you the best. Stay healthy, please.
That we will. And thank you for the opportunity. And again, it's one of these things that has helped us all come together for the benefit of the state and benefit of our students. And thanks for the opportunity and good luck to you.